Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Probably most of us would say, well, we're not committing the crime of robbery, but many of us are having trouble with number two, failing to give an honest day's work to our employer. Many of us are having struggle with number three. We steal by cheating people in business. Maybe we're withholding marital love. Maybe we're failing to honor God with our wealth. So we stand condemned. Hey, I'm breaking the eighth commandment. What do I do?
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
When it comes to the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, so many of us don't feel like we're really guilty of breaking this commandment, at least not regularly. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Jeff shares five ways that we do steal and how we can and should make a better moment-by-moment choice to live a life of integrity and generosity. Today's lesson is entitled, What's Yours is Mine, and it's from Pastor Jeff's new series, Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is part two of the lesson today. If you missed part one, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the Listen tab. There, too, you can download a free MP3 of the message along with Pastor Jeff's sermon outline notes. Right now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Here again is Pastor Jeff to explain that what is yours is really not yours.
So let's look at five ways that people break the eighth commandment. The first way people break it is the obvious way. It's the way most of us think about this commandment. We steal by committing the crime of robbery. That's breaking the eighth commandment, and it is, obviously. Hopefully, most of us would say, well, I don't have a ski mask and a gun that I put on and go rob banks. You know, we think about those kinds of things. So most of us say, hey, I'm doing pretty good on the first way. How about the second way? We steal by failing to give an honest day's work. Now, this is a heart check for us to see, am I stealing from my employer? My employer is buying my time and buying my expertise. Am I giving my employer what they're paying for? Or am I cheating my employer? Colossians chapter 3 says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Well, we know that God sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And we're not working for our boss per se, we're working for the Lord. And so we know that God sees us, and we want to work hard because we work for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Here's a good question to ask yourself as it relates to your job. If you were the employer, if you were the owner, and you had an employee just like you that worked the way you do, would you be pleased with that person or displeased? If everybody worked in the company as hard as you work, how would the company do? So we steal by failing to give an honest day's work. Third way, we steal by cheating people in business dealings. Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 10 says this, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. You say, yeah, what? I've read that before. What does that mean, differing weights and differing measures? Well, people in Bible times, they would have stones, a stone weight. And so when you would do business with them, they would have a scale because you would pay in copper or silver or gold, and they would have a scale to know how much you were supposed to pay, how much silver to pay. And so they would have a stone that they would put on the other side of the scale to balance it out, to figure out, okay, well, you owe me this much. Well, they would use a differing stone so that it would be to their benefit. Differing weights, differing measures. It's cheating people. insurance fraud. That's a big deal as people try and cheat insurance companies. And we think, well, it's an impersonal thing. It's just this blob. I'm not cheating my neighbor. I'm just cheating the insurance company, and they have so much money, so it doesn't really matter. It does matter. It's a big deal to God. It's breaking the eighth commandment. And listen, God commands us to pay the people we owe. Pay the people we owe. Pay our debts. It's a terrible witness when Christians don't pay their debts. We need to pay those we owe. Hey, a great rule of thought. Don't buy what you can't afford. Don't buy what you can't afford. Don't get overextended. We steal by cheating people in business. All right, how about this one? The fourth way. And some of you are going to have to really think about this one, because you're going to say, Pastor Jeff, you're making this up, but I'm not. We steal by withholding marital love to our partner. You say, for sure you made that one up. I didn't make it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is what the scripture says. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another. The word for depriving, used in the New American Standard, 1 Corinthians 7:5, means robbing. Stop robbing one another. Stop defrauding one another, except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There is a loving mutual respect and trust and love for one another, and it culminates in the act of marriage. And the Lord says, hey, don't withhold that. Don't use that as a weapon, because that's a form of stealing. And then how about number five? We steal by failing to honor God with our wealth. We fail to honor God with our wealth. Honor the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. To put God first in your finances. If we fail to put God first in our finances, then we're dishonoring God. But here's the thing about giving. You have a problem with it. I have a problem with it. Here's the problem we have. The love of money. We tend to love money. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many a pang. Hey, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And that is something you're susceptible to and I'm susceptible to. So what does the Lord say? Honor me from your wealth. Why? Because that breaks the chains of materialism that so easily can wrap themselves around your heart and my heart. No man can serve two masters, Jesus said. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And so every time when we bring the tithe and we give the offerings are above the tithe, above the 10%. When we do that, we're saying, Lord, I trust you to meet my needs. Lord, I want to honor you in my finances, because you alone are worthy. We steal by failing to honor God with our wealth. So as we get ready to land the plane, what's the answer to our stealing problem? Because no doubt, as we go down the list of just these five things, I could have shared more, but just these five things, probably most of us would say, well, we're not committing the crime of robbery, but many of us are having trouble with number two, failing to give an honest day's work to our employer. Many of us are having struggle with number three. We steal by cheating people in business. Maybe we're withholding marital love. Maybe we're failing to honor God with our wealth. So we stand condemned. Hey, I'm breaking the eighth commandment. What do I do? Ephesians 4, 28. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. For parents, four children, four grandparents, for all of us in here, we need to put Ephesians 4:28 into practice, and we can. Hey, you might be nailed to the wall as we've been going through those things as it relates to the eighth commandment. You say, well, I'm a thief. I didn't know that. I'm robbing God. I didn't know that. I'm breaking the eighth commandment. I didn't know that. What do I do? Well, you can make a choice today in three areas. Number one, you can choose to walk in integrity. Let him who steals, steal no longer. Okay, so I'm confronted with the fact that I'm stealing. Oh, I'm not going to steal anymore. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit robbing God. I'm going to quit robbing my employer. I'm going to walk in integrity. You know, the word integrity means soundness. It speaks of purity. I always think about it this way. Integrity is kind of like solid wood furniture. And a lack of integrity is veneer over particle board. You know, if you want to buy a solid wood desk, it costs a lot more than a veneer over particle board desk. But now if you look at them from a distance, you can't really tell the difference between veneer over particle board and solid wood. You know how you can tell the difference though, is when you put the screws to it. When you put the screws to veneer over particle board, you find that, hey, once the screw goes in, it gets mushy inside there because particle board is just wood shavings glued together. It's not solid. And a person of integrity is solid. They're true blue. They're going to say, hey, I'm going to practice Ephesians 4:28. I'm going to steal no longer. I'm going to be a person of honesty and a person of integrity. I love this story. I ran across it. Somebody put it on Facebook, and I ran across it just the other day. It's the story of the long-distance runner, cross-country runner, a Spanish athlete named Ivan Fernandez, A-N-A-Y-A. We'll just call him Ivan. He was competing in a cross-country race, and he was running second, and he was a good distance behind the leader, who was from Kenya, Abel Mutai from Kenya. And they entered the last little part of the race, just a very short little section of a straightaway. Well, there's no way he could catch this guy. But the Kenyan got confused on the boundaries of the race, and he thought the race was over, so he started to slow down. He wasn't rejoicing and celebrating early like you've seen those videos. He just thought he had won, so he started to slow down, and Ivan said, I could tell that he was confused. And so when he came up, he said, I started yelling at him to keep running. But he's a Kenyan and this guy's a Spaniard, so he didn't understand him. So he came up behind him and he pushed him in the back to push him forward. And the Kenyan won the race. Well, they interviewed this Spaniard after the race. And they said, why didn't you win the race? He said he was the rightful winner. He created a gap that I couldn't have closed. If he hadn't made a mistake, I didn't deserve to win it. As soon as I saw he was stopping, I knew I wasn't going to pass him. The reporter insisted and asked him again, but you could have won. And he looked at the reporter and he said, but what would be the merit of my victory? What would be the honor of this medal? What would my mother think of it? I don't want to win that way. There's no honesty and integrity in beating a guy that had beaten you, but just didn't know he had to keep running another 25 yards. I love that story. That's a guy that's committed to integrity. I'm not going to take what this guy rightfully won. That would be wrong. He went on to say this. He said, I also think that I have earned more of a name having done what I did than if I had won. And that is very important because today, with the way things are in all circles in soccer and society and politics, where it seems anything goes, a gesture of honesty goes down well. We wouldn't know who that guy was except that he did that. That's pretty cool. So we can do that. We can choose to walk in integrity. I don't want to be a veneer over particle board Christian. I want to be solid wood as a Christian. Secondly, we can choose to embrace industry. Industry means hard work. Let him who steals steal no longer. That's integrity. But rather let him labor performing with his own hands what is good. to be a person of hard work. Hey, when it says, let him labor, that means to toil to the point of exhaustion. Let him work hard. You say, well, Jeff, work is a part of the curse. No, it's not. Sweat is a part of the curse. Work is not a part of the curse. Before Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, Adam in Genesis chapter 2, God gave him a job to be a farmer, to cultivate and keep the Garden of Eden. And before God gave him a wife, he gave him a job. Ladies that aren't married, remember this. Don't hook up with somebody that doesn't have a job. That's not biblical. Let him get a job and then you can go out with him. That's important. So embrace hard work. And lastly, choose to practice generosity. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. To be a generous person. Hey, how generous are you? Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now remember the people there, they wore robes. And so when they would get some kind of grain or something, they would open up their robe like this, give and it will be given to you. And they would pour into their lap and shake it down so it would get all the airspace taken up. So it would be full to overflowing. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. What does that mean? What you think a lot is a lot that you give to somebody else. God says, okay, I see that's how you give and that's how I'll give to you. And the Lord says, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. How big of a blessing do you want from God? You know, if your giving is doled out with an eyedropper, you know, I mean, you go to the restaurant and somebody does a good job in serving you and you say, well, they did a really good job. I have a shiny new quarter for them. You know, that kind of thing. You know, waitresses and waiters, they hate to work on Sundays because church people go to eat on Sundays and church people are so cheap. We need to be generous people, generous. And listen, if you say, well, I don't want to be like that. Well, share with those that have need. That's such a great testimony when you're generous with people. I ran across this story today. I just loved it. It was a story about Alexander of Macedon. You and I know him better as Alexander the Great. The great general, one of the greatest generals who ever lived. He's the guy that wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. Some of us weep when there's no more ice cream in the refrigerator, but he wept when there are no more worlds to conquer. Well, one day he was walking and he had his kingly entourage with him and they went past a beggar on the side of the road and the beggar was begging alms, poor, destitute, in rags. And Alexander the Great threw him several gold coins. And one of his handlers who was in his entourage, one of his guys, was shocked. And he said to Alexander, why did you give that beggar those gold coins? He said, he's a poor beggar. Copper coins would have adequately met his needs. And Alexander said this, copper coins suit the beggar's needs, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving. What did God do for you and me? Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. God so loved you and me that he gave the greatest treasure in heaven, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, as we close out today, you're a thief. I'm a thief. our parents were thieves. Adam and Eve, one of their sins when they ate of the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat was stealing. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that belonged to God. It didn't belong to them. They were given permission to eat of any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. They took what didn't belong to them. We're all thieves. You know, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. So you and me were two thieves. But one thief responded to the Lord's grace, and the other thief didn't. Have you ever responded to the Lord's grace? If not, you can today. That one thief is in heaven, the other thief is in hell, because the one thief saw his need, and he said to his friend on the other side of Jesus, "Do you not even fear God? We're under the condemnation of death, and rightly so, but this man has done nothing wrong, nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to that repentant thief, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." And the Lord will say that to you today. If you'll give your heart and life to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Maybe not this day, but one day. But he'll truly say to you today, "You shall one day be with me in paradise." It all has to do with you responding to him in repentance and in faith.
If you know that this very moment you have never come to the point in your life where you have surrendered your life to Jesus in repentance and faith, will you receive him today? Just simply and sincerely ask him from the bottom of your heart. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. And I want to come to you and have you save me as you promised that you would. I invite you to come in, and I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you want to understand what a prayer like that means when it's given sincerely to God, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link to help you understand what making this decision will mean to you. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. Today, you heard part two of the message entitled, "What's Yours is Mine." It's about the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." And we learned that many people don't see that we are guilty of breaking this commandment very much. And Pastor Jeff shared five ways that we do steal and how we can make better daily choices to live a life of integrity and generosity. But there are nine other messages in this new series that are just as deep, if not more, called Written in Stone, a study of the Ten Commandments. These commandments were written in stone by the finger of God and are the most important pieces of literature the world has ever known. They are critical for a society to function and flourish. They're not given to make us slaves, but to free us to be the kind of people who bring glory to God and blessings to others. It's the reason for our creation to begin with. This rich and enlightening series is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. You can receive it in the format of your choice: USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or digital download. To get your copy, you can make your gift online at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. When you do, be sure to request the series Written in Stone. God bless you for what you can do to help us this month. Our time is gone for today, and we pray that you are inspired, enlightened, and encouraged by today's message from Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles with a formal invitation to you to be right back here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff Shreve will begin the study of the ninth commandment in a lesson that'll tell us why it is so vital that we not bear false witness against our neighbor. Join us on Thursday for the lesson, To Tell the Truth. That's when we'll again open up the Word of God and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.